As God touches you and touches me, there's a lot that you and I need to be looking at in our life. And that, what we need to be looking at, is who we are, what God has given us, and what we give back to glorify God. Now, God says, I've created you for a purpose. The preacher can't tell you what your purpose is. I can tell you what my purpose is. And God looks into the heart, but he also looks to the heart of all the evil that you hear about and are watching going across the world. And because America, I do believe this with my heart, because America has kicked God out of so many institutions, that Jesus' name is not to be used in a prayer in a Christian nation. Is God showing America what can happen without him? We've seen it before. But what are we going to do? God says, I'm looking at you. Let me read Mark 12, 41 through 44. I read it every Sunday, thinking I'm going to preach a message I have in front of me, and I seem never to do it. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. What is the problem in the church with the name Jesus, with the name Christian, with the name Church of God, with the name, all the different names? What's going on? Is it on the outside we promote Jesus? On the outside, well, just look at the church name. Well, then, do we support Baptists more than we support the Word of God? What has happened to the church in America? Remember, 4,000 churches planted annually, 7,000 close their door. Not going to do much looking at it from the truth, are we? But let me share with you how God sees what's going on with us in the United States of America and how our greater desire seems to be of the fun or things of the world rather than the only thing that should matter to you, and that is, are we following God's leadership in our spirit? I am a human being. I am a spirit that has a body. I am not a body that has a spirit. God made the body. God breathed his spirit of life into the first man, Adam. And we know the story. The story is clear. God says, I love you so much that I'm going to breathe into you part of me. You will know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. You will see it. But then God looked down on earth thousands of years over and over. And he says, I know now that man's heart is evil continually. Have you checked your heart lately, that spiritual being? Have you checked with inside yourself? Let me stop there. One day, when you're either lying on the bed they call the deathbed. One day, as you have all the cancers and all the other garbage of disease that will hit you, you will find within your spirit a wake-up call. And God says, you belong to me. Wake up. You belong to me. I love you. God does not love the wealth of the world, nor does he need it. Neither do we. God will pick those who have more to give to those who don't. But listen, folks, and listen well. The greatest trouble in our churches today is that religion is first. And we need more Jesus and less religion. Let me give you some definitions. I focused on more Jesus, less toxic religion. Toxic. The definition is poisonous material capable of causing death or serious debilitation. And the definition of religion: belief in a God or a group of gods. From the religious standpoint, all the world has used the term religion and placed religion on the God that they created. How many times have you seen churches that don't have many people in them? And you let a rainstorm, you let a snowstorm, you let anything happen, and then you let one flake of snow fall, and we don't go to church. But through the blizzard the night before, we made the game. You see, the building here is nothing magic in it. What makes this building important to God is you. Each one of us. We are individually a part of God's body, his son. We represent Jesus together. We can't do it separately simply because none of us are good enough. Our personalities are all different. And God says, I will allow you to represent my son. Now that's an honor. It is an honor to get to go in the baptismal pool. That is where a child or any age will say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross. He was buried, and on the third day he rose. I believe, we say. But if I truly believe in something, will you not see the outward appearance of my inward condition? If I say I believe in the power of Christ, and then I search for power from somewhere else, oh, give me a good book on psychology. That's why I couldn't help handle it, folks. I'm sorry. Freud and I did not get along at all. Great thinkers. All had miserable lives. Jesus says, I want to give you life to its fullest. Toxic religion in society today has created the direct enemies of God become powerful, not just overseas, but in our own nation. All know they're here. All understand one day something's going to happen. God is not on a time schedule for the toxic religious to set foot in the United States of America. Whether we act like it or not, we still are God's. Israel, I will back with all I can. But what brings us together? Is it not the Christ who touches our heart? Has he not told us that we're so special to him that we need to pay attention to his plan for our life? Toxic religion is very dangerous in our society. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. These people who focus on religion are always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Always learning. And then we look and all of a sudden we figured out, I don't know anymore than I did yesterday. Always learning. And what is the percentage we forget in such a short period of time out of college or school or any of that? I mean, if you don't use it, it's gone, right? But God says to us, I want you to give me an offering of you. I want you to be obedient to my call in your life. Religion says, I want you to be obedient to what I tell you to do from a man's or human point of view. God speaks to your heart and he says, don't listen to that. But who do we hear louder in our life? Who in our life is more important than life? Is it not the Christ that we say we believe in? Have we taken the word of God and misused it and turned it around? There's a term I want you to get within your heart, and that term's relationship. You see, poisonous, toxic situations, many people will worship it. You see it in the Triple X, you see it in all the other garbage. Religion, as I said, all the years I was a crisis intervention and dealt in the prison areas. Some worshiped radiators on the wall religiously. Why, do you know that we have, and I know this is going to surprise you, we have people that religiously watch every football game that is there. A preacher, you saying that's wrong? Nope. But I can tell you this. Where do you put your emphasis in life? You want to know who my God is? Who do I present to the world? Who do I spend more time with? Do I spend more time with God and his business? Or getting in stuff that I have no business? Think of it. The time has come, and God has called us, united together, to stand strong for the truth. And if we must die in the process, so be it. But you can't die if we've never lived. And he said, I want you to live in the freedom of my love. I want you to live in the power that I give you. I want you to tell the world they have no authority over you because of me. I want you to put me first in your life, and I'll take care of everything else in your life. Well, you all watched something this morning. I wished you would if you have Fox News. There was a SEAL, Navy SEAL, that was on, and 2 years ago, he was going in, they were going in to take a room, take an area. And as he went to the door, he and his partner, the Taliban opened up on him. He was shot 27 times. His buddy was shot only once, and they said it was in the neck, and he died. When they asked the SEAL, what did you do? He said, I did what I was ordered to do. I cleared the room after being shot 27 times. But he said the key was this. I'd always in the past said, God be with me. But this time I said, God, take me back to my girls. He had 3 children at home. 27 times. And then he cleared the room. Well, you see, that's power that you and I don't understand. Why does 27 rounds, AKs and all, in him. Why did he live and his partner one round got him in the neck? It's amazing how God works in our life. But I can tell you this also, folks. There's never a time, Christian, in any situation you are, find yourself, whether it's a place you don't have any business or not, when you cry out to your Father in heaven, he's there. And when we hear that, and we know that, and we witness all the miracles that are going on around us, our problem is we're not recognizing the power of Jesus Christ. We don't have time for religion. We have time for relationship. I'm not going to heaven because I'm Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm sure not going to heaven because I'm good. I'm going to heaven to be with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because I know him. He shed his blood for me. He went to the cross for me. He saw all the dumb mistakes I would make, even in Vietnam. I could just picture, that's a dumb move, Larry Pete. And I had more dumb moves than you could imagine, as many of us could attest to. But you know something? You and I are breathing today because we have a ministry to do for Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, when he left, didn't leave anything undone. He completed what he came to do. They couldn't kill him. Remember the stories many times during his ministry in the 3 years, and all of a sudden Jesus was gone. All of a sudden he was gone from the midst. They're plotting to kill him. Turn around and just talk to him, but he was gone. He was gone to show us something. That when his enemies don't see him, you and I will know him. When his enemies don't understand his power, he shows the world who he is. We have rested for many years. I believe in my heart that as God calls us into his ministry, now listen to me, folks, on this one. There is reality living out here. So get real. God allows me and you to grow, to go through everyday activities like anybody else. Sometimes there's a point at a certain age that God will say, now, here is what I've called you for. Here is your duty, because all of the life you lived back here prepared you for this time. All the sermons I will ever preach in the past 40 years, all of those sermons, and then God says, now, here's what I want you to do. And as he touches your heart and touches mine, folks, I've lived a great life. I'm excited about the life that God has blessed me with. But I will have to say to you and admit to you, I'm more excited about the one I got coming. Amen. I know where I'm going. Christians say, I know where I'm going. But do you know what you're doing on your journey? Live your life. Raise your family. See the blessings that God has poured out. But there comes a time, payday someday, when you and I must be responsible as a Christian and stand up and say to no matter who is against you because of your Christian faith, enough is enough. Amen. And that we glorify God. I've read the book. Read it, Bible. Remember, great number one seller. But it won't do any good to read it if you won't apply it. It'll do no good to read it with head knowledge. You read it with the knowledge through your spirit that Christ gives. And are we watching as a great nation falls because we kick God out? The trite statements that are made, or why were so many children killed? And I said, well, because you kicked God out of school. No, that's not it. I don't believe that. It rains on the just as well as it does on the unjust people. God will not allow you or I to be touched without his say-so. I don't care whether the governments or anyone else has attempted to kick him out of their activities. They did not kick him out of my life or yours. He's still there, watching after us, loving us. Gosh, folks, we get out of that ditch of life and we're embarrassed and we sort of sneak around and do all of this stuff. When what Jesus is saying is, get out of the ditch, dust yourself off, I have a job for you to do, and then you fulfill God's love in your heart, love in your life for the world. There's a world going to hell because they don't know Jesus Christ. You can't find Jesus in the Buddhas or in the Hare Krishnas. Or in the Islamic faith. He's not there. You see, God the Father gave his son Jesus his own special day. We call it Sunday. He gave his son Jesus his own special people. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he's given us. But he's also charged us with being responsible. Christian, you have so much power within you, you can't imagine it. And the reason you don't recognize it is because we spend too much time in our mind instead of our spirit. We think with the head. How many times I got you in trouble? Well, think of this. The trouble that I get into for preaching the gospel is such a good feeling kind of trouble. Because God says, I love you. I don't have a right to back away from his love. And he has told each one of us that we are to share his love with the world. We are to take his love and go to the world. There's a scripture here I want to read to you. Let me, because this is important. Okay, John 6, 26 through 29. This is when they're trying to trick Jesus. You remember that? And, you know, whose inscription is on the coin? Remember, do you pay tithe to Caesar or not? Listen to this. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Now see, he's in an argument with the Pharisees over here. Well, all of these people who said they were Christians, they served him, Jesus looks at them. Think of it. He got a battle going both spots. Said, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me, this is Jesus, the seal of his approval. They replied, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? Listen to this. Verse 29. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Are you hearing this? For those of you who want people to jump over the pews and crawl under the Constantino wire, listen. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Well, Now, Lord, if I go over here and I work, though, I do the things with my hands and all of this, I will be in what you will do is you'll be able to say, Lord, I've done so much of this for you. So here's the key I want you to get on verse 29. The only work God wants from you is to believe in the one he has sent. Now, to believe in is to love. Jesus Christ so loved, he gave himself for us. We're nothing. We never saw ourselves as anything. Neither did the Hebrew nation until God created the Hebrew nation out of all renegades. But listen, what Jesus is saying is, if you love me, you'll stand with me, whether I feed you or not. If you love me, you will be there when I call you to be. The greatest honor that could ever be received is not the Medal of Honor. It is the honor to serve as a Christian, representing a Savior who gave his life. You see, if I believe in Jesus, I believe in what he gave for me. If I believe in Jesus, that's the only work, then I believe that Jesus did a work on me. If I believe in Jesus as to what he has done, then I believe in Jesus that he is God's Son, the Most High. And think of it. God takes time out to touch your heart and mind. He pays attention. Do you know that it's just not the hair on your head that God counts? Do you realize that he says that there's not a tear that falls that God hasn't counted? Whew. That tells us how important we are. So the whole focus is we know how important we are in the eyes of Jesus, but in our actions, do we show Jesus the love we have for him? Or do we just take it? Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, the living Son of God, not a dead prophet, a living Son of God, who chose to offer you the opportunity to allow him to come and live in you. That's the love he's talking about. These old bodies are just about ready to go, folks. I got a new one. Oh, it's prettier than a truck. God has created it. He said it's your home. So I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Take God's blessing. Take his call. Apply it to your individual life. And do something for Jesus. Three young souls you witnessed this morning. How many are still out there? They're waiting for the truth. If I say I'm a Christian, then I know the truth, and the truth sets me free to do what? Share my Christian walk. If I am killed in the process for it, oh, what a great reunion day we will have. Let's pray. Father, the greatest gift that anyone could ever receive, you've given to us. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the peace that we can find within our spirit that the world doesn't understand. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to help us to love you back. Touch each heart now, Father, that each individual heart will make that commitment to you. that each one of us, Father, will be about your business. Each one of us, Father, we will know that the love and your mighty power is with us. We ask now for that blessing to be done as we make those commitments in Jesus' name. Amen.